Wait until we tell Ryder, Diesel whoops. I knew my little bird was going to be the shit. I shake my head with a laugh. We head through the club, winding through the tables, but just before we get to the door, we're stopped. There's a man there, one who was with the drunk guy from before, and he looks enraged. Fucking whore, spending all his money. Can't afford it yourself. Oh, shit. I feel the two men tense behind me, but the stupid fuck carries on. You leave my brother alone. You got a problem, we'll be in booth free. You can suck us off for that money if you want. Well, this stupid motherfucker is dead, and there ain't no way I'm helping him.
What do you just say?
Diesel growls, his face closing down. He slowly turns to the man.
You called my girl a whore?
Where's the popcorn when you need it? He sheds his jacket, tossing it at me, and pulls back his hair, tying it at the base of his neck in a bobble. His chest glistens under the strobe lights as he prowls around the man, who now looks like he regrets his words. D, I start, but he ignores me. The swagger in the smooth way he walks has me licking my lips. He truly is fucking stunning, dangerous, dark, crazy, and fucking beautiful. He pulls his knife and holds it up for the man to see.
You didn't think I would hear you insult our girl?
Yeah, this guy is dead. I watch a stupid fuck who still looks like he might take Diesel on. It's all false bravado, of course. Anyone can see how dangerous Diesel is. He's a match waiting to be struck, and this guy, he fucking struck it. Run while you can, you daft sod, I advise, but he spits in my direction. Well, I tried. Instead, I grab a shot from the closest table and toss it back, leaning into Garrett to watch my crazy man at work. This should be fun.
Baby, nothing is ever boring with you around.
He laughs even though I feel him scanning the crowd in case anyone decides to get stupid and jump us or D.
Fuck you,
the guy snarls.
You think you're tough because you're here with your whore?
The guy laughs again, making me wince. Damn, this is going to be bad.
You are nothing. Just two idiots being led around by your dicks by the same low rent whore.
Diesel is done talking. He strikes with the precision of a man used to killing who knows exactly where to hit. He's unafraid and bold. His knife catches the man across the face, and the idiot stumbles back with a pained yell. His hand comes up to block Diesel's neck slice, which gets him across the chest, splitting his shirt and skin and spilling blood. But Diesel is a man possessed. He doesn't torture or tease like normal. He spins and slices, enraged, his face locked in anger and death. His eyes hard. He cuts the man's wrists and the back of his knees, making him drop to the floor with a pained shriek. Everyone is watching, unsure whether or not to help as Diesel blows back his gold locks and steps behind the man. With narrowed, enraged eyes, he grabs his hair and yanks his head back.
That whore, he spits the word, tried to save you. Remember that when you're in your coffin.
Diesel slices his neck from left to right, and it splits open like a gaping bloody smile. Effortlessly, Dee tosses him to the floor to choke on his own blood, which is pouring from his wound. Stepping over his body, Diesel prowls toward me, not stopping until he's pressed to my front, and he hands me the knife like a present.
Want me to cut off his balls for you, little bird?
Laughing, I take the knife and lay a kiss on his lips. No, babe, that's fine. Let's go. I'm tired. He grins and pulls away, grabbing his jacket and tossing it over his shoulder. His other arm slides around my waist, taking me from Garrett.
Let's go home.
I look around. I bet the police are coming. There are people on their phones, folks crying and girls screaming, and then Cherry storms through their midst, calm, collected, and in control. She takes in the men, then us, and nods.
I got this. Go.
Cherry tells us, before turning to the clients and girls.
You saw fucking nothing. Now get back to work. Rick, pour free drinks for everyone.
Nodding in gratitude, though I don't think the guys would have much issue with the police, we leave while we can. They might have some sway, but I'm betting they would have to answer some questions, and that wouldn't be good with the violent mood they are both in. Not to mention it would annoy Ryder. My first trip out with a terrible twosome and we get arrested. Yeah, I would be punished all night. On second thought, I should go back and get arrested.
35. Ryder. Gripping my hair, I drop my head into my hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I murmur, chanting it over and over until I feel more in control. We have too much to do. I have too much to do. I still need to find out who's betraying us before it gets us killed, and I need to deal with the triad as well as run our legitimate business. I'm exhausted, my eyes stinging and body tiring, but I have to keep going. I can't stop until I save my family. I have to protect them even if it kills me. Nothing else matters. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I whisper again, as I hear the front door open and the telltale giggle of Roxanne. Shoving my hair back, I straighten and return to checking the bank transfers from ex-employees. It would be the first sign they were betraying us. I could get Kenzo to look into it, but he's tired and needs sleep. I've set up at the table, not wanting to be in my office all night. I have papers in piles all over, and my two laptops open, my phone and tablet also scrolling through information. There is too much for me to handle, but I have to. I don't glance up when I hear them stop laughing. I hear a few whispers, the sound of retreating footsteps, and then a clearing of a throat. Sighing, I don't look up. Garrett, I'm fine. I'll sleep once. Sorry, I'm better looking than him, Roxanne teases. My head jerks up and I frown. Sorry, I thought. Scrubbing my face, I smile softly. Sorry, love, did you have a good night? She looks over the papers and me and nods. I'll make coffee. I hold up my mug. I seem to have drunk it. Laughing, she leans over and drops a peck on my lips. I got this, okay? Let me look after you while you look after us. I blink in astonishment, but then she's gone. I hear her in the kitchen, arguing with the cupboards, trying to get them open, which makes me smirk as I glance back at the bank records I was looking at. H. Fedred. It's definitely not him. His bank is almost overdrawn, his bills taking all his incoming money from his job, which I tracked to make sure it's legitimate. There used to be a security guard. Front desk, I think. He was a good man. Grabbing my phone, I transfer him a couple of thousand to help before loading up the next bank transfers list that Kenzo got me. He worked all day on collecting this information. I don't ask how, I don't care, but it's a big help. I've got guards at trust checking current security, but I agree. This is someone who worked for us before. They don't have up-to-date information. Roxanne returns and she places a mug next to me, her hand on my shoulder as she leans in close. I can't help but relax back into her warmth for a moment, seeking the comfort of her body, even though I don't deserve it. Why can't I find out who is betraying us? Leaning forward, I get back to work, putting away from her. I need to find out who is double-crossing us. I have to. Let me help, she offers. I'm fine, go get some sleep, I tell her distractedly. And then my chair is suddenly yanked back and she's dropping into my lap. I automatically grab her and make sure she doesn't fall, blinking at her incredulously. Her face is hard, her eyes narrowed. I wasn't asking, now let me help or I'm going to annoy you all night. You're tired and stressed. I know you think you have to solve everything, that the weight rests solely on your shoulders. But you have to lean on someone eventually, Rye. Please let me help, she says softly as she reaches out and cups my face. I can't help but lean into her and she grins. It doesn't make you weak. You are still our leader, still in charge, but even the best leaders need help every now and again. Roxanne, I sigh. Are you sure? She nods, leaning down and kissing me. Now, boss man, tell me what to do, and if I'm a good employee, you can reward me later. Laughing, I help her up as she takes the chair opposite me, kicking off her shoes and getting comfortable. I can't help but smile. She is so cute. And not going anywhere. If I don't let her help, fuck knows what she'll do. It sends a burst of relief through me as I think it over. Logically, it would mean this would work faster and therefore might help us track them before they can hit us again. I'll push the tablet over to her. We are checking bank records for anything suspicious. If you find something, flag it for me. Any recurring large payments over 1,000 and up to probably $1 million. I nod, thinking it over. Better safe than sorry, then we can work down that list. Oh, also flag anyone who is struggling financially. I add as an afterthought and feel her staring at me, so I look over at her again. What, love? You're going to send them money if they're struggling? She inquires, a grin appearing on her lips as I frown. Big bad vipers, who knew you were such softies? Softies? I snort, don't tell anyone.
Or you'll kill me,
she teases as she starts to scroll through the log.
Threat's a little old now, babe.
You know, I think we have been too easy on you, love. You're far too cocky. I grin as I flick through the information.
Babe, I was cocky before you met me. You don't get credit for my wit and mouth.
She grins, her eyes on the tablet. Now get to work, I want my reward when we find this bastard. Sipping the coffee she made, I lose myself in bank statements, answering the occasional email as I go. We work mainly in silence, but she fills my coffee a few times before going back to work. After a couple of hours, I lean back and stretch. Anything? She looks up and places the tablet down next to a list she has.
A few, three to be exact, but I still have four names to check. What about you?
I have four to examine in depth and seven names left. I sigh, rubbing my eyes. It's the middle of the night, but I can't stop now. Let's get through these last ones, and then I'll make us some food. She smirks at that.
It better be good food.
Laughing, I quickly scan through the remaining names. She's done before me, of course, and I notice her looking over the list with a frown. So when I'm done, I grab it and cross a few names off. Some of these still do odd jobs for us, hence the transfers. That leaves us with 10 names between us. Okay, I'll get Kenzo to check these out tomorrow. Maybe wire them and put tails on them. Are you hungry, love?
Starving.
She groans as she gets up and stretches, making my eyes drag down her delicious body. She grabs our mugs as I stand and roll back my sleeves. Homemade pasta? I ask, and she stops.
You cook? Make homemade pasta? She murmurs, and I smirk.
I do.
Fucking assholes, is there anything you lot can't do?
She grumbles as we head to the kitchen again. She hops up on the island to watch as I grab the ingredients I need.
But her words stick with me. There's something I've been thinking about, running around in circles in my mind.
The only way I will ever know for sure is to ask her, so, leaning back against the worktop, I narrow my eyes on her and settle in. Roxanne. She tilts her head.
Uh-oh, am I in trouble? Is it about the guy I beat up?
I blink in shock. You beat someone up again, what? Never mind, we can come back to that. I need to ask you something.
Sure, what's up?
She inquires casually. Do you want to be here? She freezes, her eyes widening. I mean it.
I know, we didn't give you a choice.
But now it seems like you are almost happy. I'll see the way you are with my brothers. I have to know.
I have to know if you're going to try and escape again or if you could ever stay and be happy with them. And if I say no?
She asks slowly. I need to protect them, love, even from their own feelings. This is getting more serious than I could have ever imagined. Tell me the truth, Roxanne. Do you want to stay with us?
I hold my breath, waiting for the answer, because the truth is, I want her too.
She is the best debt I ever collected, and the most important business deal.
But for her, did she accept the inevitable? Are we just a decision to give up fighting? If it comes down to her or my brothers, would I choose wisely?
Could I even choose any more? For all my intentions at keeping her at bay, the little minx has got behind my armour, and now even my own heart is on the line. Held in this woman's grasp. She has the power to destroy us all. Does she know it?
She seems to be thinking, debating her answer.
Love, look at me. Are you happy? Do you still want your freedom, or do you want us?
Are those my only two choices?
She queries and then glances away for a moment, the light of the city arcing across her heartbreakingly beautiful face.
I don't know. If you asked me a week ago, I would have taken my freedom. But you've gotten under my skin. You've got your venom in me. And in this last week, I have felt more alive than I ever have. Dee keeps telling me I belong. Garrett is finally letting me in. And Kenzo is so sweet and shared his past with me. And you. You, Ryder, are giving me a chance to be part of a real family.
But, I prompt, my hands digging into the granite as fear surges through me. I hate fear. It makes us weak. She makes me weak.
But How can I be completely happy as a captive? Don't you want me to choose you, to not need you but want you? I've lived my own life, I have my own place, my own business. I earn my own money and pay my bills and buy the shit I want. I'm not rich, but I'm comfortable. I learned to change bulbs, to mow the fucking grass, to change a goddamn tyre, to build furniture, to travel and be alone. In all that, I learned I didn't need a man to be with me, to do things for me. I could do it for myself. Nothing is too difficult, you can always find a way. But that means when I'm with someone, when I choose someone, it's because I want them. Not because I need them for something, because I have to be with them, but because I can be with them. Don't you want that? It's my greatest fear and what I knew from the start. Why I try to stay away. Roxanne wants to be free. From us. To leave. But would she come back? She's asking for that choice, and who am I to keep that from her? If I truly care for her, surely I should let her choose us. But what if she doesn't? Dee will never let her go. It would break Kenzo's heart, and Garrett... Fuck, he's finally letting someone in again, trying to heal. She would kill us all and break everything we have worked so hard for. But the other option is that she will slowly begin to hate us again when the glamour and kindness isn't enough. When we aren't enough to stop that hate. The hate from having our own choices taken away. After all, isn't that what our father did? She despises the man. Are we any better than him? We aren't good men, we're criminals, but for her... Could we do something good just this once? I'll turn around and start making the food, debating my answer. Rye, she whispers. I don't want to hurt anyone, I really don't. At first I did, I hated you all, and I think a part of me probably still does, but I also care. Dee told me something which makes sense now. If I really hated you, I would have killed you that first night, and he's right. I'm strong, I know that. I could have killed you, I had plenty of opportunity. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to earn my freedom that way. But like Dee's name for me, I am a bird. I need my wings. I need my freedom. It was taken from me as a child. I lived in constant fear and hatred, so strong it warped me. And when I was free, I could be me. I found who I was. I don't want to lose that again. I don't want to hate you. Her words end on a whisper and I shiver. I don't want you to either, I tell her. But I don't know how to let you go. I know. She sighs before her arms wrap around me from behind. I'm your worst nightmare, Rider Viper. Something you never saw coming. Something you can't control. I grip her hands to my stomach as I lean into her. She's right. But she's also the best thing to happen to us. She's filled with such life, such capability for laughter and joy. She brings out the best in us and accepts the worst. Could I love her? And if I do, can I really deny her? Could I bear for her to actually hate us in the future, like my mother hated my father? Maybe I'm more like him than I want to admit, I sigh. Like who? She questions. My father. I know you know some about him, but he was a bastard, love, a true bastard. He moulded me to be like him, but what if I am? What if all that moulding, all those lessons, made me into the very thing I fucking hate? Kenzo sees it, so do you. I am capable of such destruction, such vile acts, yet I excuse it with the need to save my family. Yet here you are, my prisoner, and I don't want to let you go. I want you to ourselves to lock you away in here so no other can ever have you. Just like he did to my mother. Am I doomed to repeat his mistakes? She's quiet for a moment. Am I doomed to repeat my father's actions? She counters. To be a person so weak and cruel? I don't know, I could be. But I think the fact we are worried about it shows that we won't, because we don't want to be, because we are aware. Yes, you can be cruel, cold and manipulative. I can be mean, a bitch and cruel too. But that doesn't make us them. It makes us us. Stop fighting who you are, Ryder. Stop fearing who you might find if you do. You never know, you might even discover you love yourself. She pulls away then and I let her go because I have to. I could keep her here with me, but that might kill the part of her I love. The strong, crazy, unpredictable viper, because that's what she is, one of us. There is no use denying it. I knew it when I first saw her. Which is why I was so afraid. Because if she is one of us, what happens when she leaves? Oh, I've done some evil shit in my life. I've stepped on people. I've killed them. I've destroyed their lives and families and businesses without a blink. My hands are covered in more blood than she could ever imagine. All for them, my family. So what will I do for her? Everything. It comes to me easily. I would do anything. Everything. I would burn this whole fucking city to the ground and find her in the cinders. I would kill, I would steal, I would lie. But what about letting her go? Can I do that? To everyone else, we are the villains. We are the evil in this city. Men immersed in power and money. We are the ones they fear, whom they hide away from. Yet she doesn't. She basks in it. What if I kept her? Here, forever. Would that really be so bad? I'm turning to grab the pasta cutter when something hits me in the face. Coughing, I swipe away the white powder and spin to see Roxanne laughing, holding a bag of flour in her hand. She smirks at me. The one that makes me want to do bad things to her. One smile and it pushes away all my demons that are longing to be free. Run, I snap. She giggles and backs away. Run, love, I warn as I prowl around the island towards her. Laughing harder, she tries to escape, but I grab her, capture her again, and yank her to me. You should have run faster, I murmur in her ear. Maybe I wanted to be caught. She laughs as she wiggles, trying to break free. Grabbing the eggs from the side, I crack one open right over her hair. She screams and lurches away. Watching it drip down her face, I can't help but laugh. Her nostrils flare, her eyes narrowed. Oh, you're dead. Now it's your turn to fucking run. She grabs the butter on the side and throws it at me. Ducking, I chuckle as I grab some pasta and lob it at her. She screams and chases me with some milk, making me laugh as I swerve and avoid her. She turns to snatch something else and I wrap my arms around her waist from behind. Truce! I cry out with a chuckle as she kicks and laughs. Stilling, she giggles and leans back into me. I turn her in my arms and grin down at her as I brush away a scraggly strand of egg-covered hair. She smiles up at me, her dark eyes shining with happiness. How did she do that? She set me free from my demons without even trying. Never has this home had such laughter or happiness. It echoes around these silent, miserable walls, filling it with life, filling it with her. Flour covers my face, I have food in my hair and on my clothing, and I'm smiling so large I don't remember the last time I kissed her. A desperate, clinging kiss. A goodbye. Because I know now. I have to let her go. Even if she doesn't come back to us. Because Roxanne was never meant to be locked away. She is meant to be free, wild and uncontrolled. Even now, with laughter on our lips and happiness coating her expression, I know she's pondering if she would really be here if she had a choice. She's too strong, too fucking strong for this. If she chooses this life, I could accept it, but she didn't. She had no choice. And I have to give her that. Even if it ruins my family. Even if it means the end of the vipers. I have to let her go.
36. Roxy. I slept in Ryder's arms again last night, after we had showered, of course. At least he stopped working for a little bit, even if the conversation did turn dark. So when I wake up and he's gone, I'm not surprised to find a note on his pillow. Note, see you soon, behave. Asshole. With a smirk, I slip into one of his shirts and then freeze, recalling our conversation last night. Was he really contemplating letting me go? I don't know, but if he does, will I leave? I've gotten used to living here, and I really do care for them. They make me feel alive. They make me happy. But can happiness, can love, really happen when I had no choice? I don't know, but I doubt it will bother them. They made a choice, and they will stick to it. I already decided to stop fighting and just start living. So even though I miss my old life, I push it away. When I get downstairs, it's just Diesel and Garrett. I slip into my chair, and Garrett passes me a coffee, our fingers lingering. So, where's Dumb and Dumber? I smirk. Garrett snorts, but Diesel doesn't even look at me.
Going through that list.
I nod and lean closer to Diesel. Hey, hot stuff. Guess that means it's you and me again. I wiggle my eyebrows at him. He grinds his teeth and storms off, leaving me staring after him. Care to explain? I ask Garrett. I turn back to see him watching me sadly before he wipes his face clear of emotion.
It's nothing. Just a bad night. Don't worry about it. So what do you want to do today?
Anything, I answer distractedly, as I look in the direction where Diesel disappeared to. Is this him angry? Garrett actually laughs.
Oh no, you know when you see him angry, baby. He will be okay. Now, today.
I nod as he talks, but my mind keeps going back to Diesel. What's wrong with my crazy viper? And how do I make it right? I never thought I would miss his brand of crazy, but as the morning drags on, I hate it. I want my crazy batshit Diesel back, so I enlist Garrett's help. He sets up as I go to find him. I find him lying on my bed, staring at the ceiling. Leaping onto it, I crawl up his body and press my face to his. Your little bird is being naughty. Want to help? I grin. He blinks, his arms wrapping around me.
Like you need my help,
he mutters. But his voice is off, his blue eyes not as brilliant as usual. Uh-uh, come on, crazy pants, or I'll have all the fun, and then who will punish me? I wink and grab his hands, yanking him up. He sighs, but lets me, and when he's on his feet, I throw myself at him. He has no choice but to catch me as I wrap my legs around his waist and bite his lip, making him groan. Play with me, I murmur. His hands clench my ass and hold me tighter.
Little bird,
he growls, and I've never been more relieved. Biting his lip until I taste blood, I yank myself away and tumble to the floor before I get up and run. I hear him laugh as I race down the corridor.
I'm going to get you, little bird, he calls.
Once, that would have terrified me, but now it just sends desire spiking through me while I laugh. I make it to the living room and leap onto Garrett's back, who's bent over and sorting the chair. He grunts, reaches out, and grabs my legs to keep me there as he straightens just as Diesel slides into the room with a smirk.
Hiding, my little bird,
he coos and prowls closer, making me laugh in Garrett's ear.
Uh-uh, she bribed me into one of her plans.
He shrugs and then laughs as he tosses me at Diesel. I yelp as I fly through the air, but Diesel catches me with a grunt, knocking the breath from my lungs for a moment as he wraps me in his arms.
So, what's your evil scheme, little bird?
Diesel grins down at me. We're going to tattoo Garrett, I smirk. He laughs.
How the fuck did you manage to convince him of that?
Easy. I snort as I get down and wink at him. I have a vagina he wants to fuck. You going to help me or what?
She also threatened to beat up my balls again,
Garrett calls. I nod seriously. That too. This time with a frying pan, seeing as though I still don't have my bat. Diesel laughs.
You gotta stop beating people up, little bird. It's easier just to kill them.
I wave that away. Killing spree later. Dick tattoos now.
No fucking dicks,
Garrett yells, and I turn around and narrow my eyes. I will do a dick if I want to do a dick, I snap. He glares and goes toe-to-toe with me.
No fucking dicks. If I so much as see a goddamn dick on my skin, I will...
Will what? I prompt sweetly, trailing my hand down his chest to his dick and cupping it. Well?
Fair is fair, he growls. I will draw one on your face.
You wouldn't dare, I seethe.
Try me,
he smirks. I liked you better when you just grunted. Fine, no dicks. Sit down, I demand, letting go of his hard cock and stomping around him while he laughs. But then an idea hits me, and I beckon Dee closer as we debate what to draw. I lean in and whisper in his ear so Garrett can't hear. We're going to sneak a dick in it, in the design space. He will never know.
He's going to murder you. I'm in.
He laughs. He could try, I grin, as I snap on the gloves and wiggle my finger. Probing time, baby. Bend over. Diesel does so, wiggling his arse at me and making Garrett groan.
Children,
he calls, and we look over as I spank Diesel.
No arse play before tattoos.
After? I ask seriously, and he throws his hand over his eyes.
This is a fucking terrible idea, and they call him crazy. She's just as bad,
he mutters to himself. I sit on the chair and roll closer, debating where to tattoo. He doesn't have much room. What about your arse? I murmur, looking him over again.
You are not tattooing my arse,
he snaps, and I huff. Where else? Your cock? I ain't touching your big-ass toes. I shiver in disgust. He looks down, searching for room.
Shit, baby. Please not my arse.
I look him over again. Arse or cock? Your choice. He narrows his eyes and I grin. Bend over, boy.
No vagina is worth this,
he snarls, as he unfastens his jeans and yanks them off, leaving him in little black boxers, his thick thighs covered in tattoos as he desperately hunts for some room. He doesn't find any and stares at me with wide eyes.
Fuck.
Grinning, I twirl my finger at him, and he grudgingly turns and lies face down. I tug down his boxers and reveal his peachy fucking ass, but then I freeze. Are you okay? I ask lowly, remembering. He stills but nods. Then he turns his head until he can see me.
I'm okay. I can see you.
I nod and grin again. Diesel? Razor. He hands me one, and I clean his cheek before I start to shave it. Can't say I ever thought I would be shaving my boyfriend's arse, I mutter, making Diesel laugh. Garrett groans.
I'm never going to live this down. No Barbie or some weird shit, baby, or I'll do something worse to you.
Fine. I pout as I look at his pale skin. What to do? I grab the needle and, like he showed me earlier, line it up with his skin. I do a tiny art and then glance up to see him breathing heavily, his eyes closed tight, so I roll back. Done. He opens his eyes and looks at me.
Baby, it's okay.
Leaning down, I kiss him softly. Turn over and I can do your chest, I suggest, knowing if we stop, it will kill him. He nods and pulls up his pants and flips over. I wipe the area and just next to his belly where there is some space, some scarring too. You sure? I query softly. He grits his teeth.
I got this. Do it.
Let me know if you need me to stop, I order, and he nods. Diesel slides in and helps me, and we start the tattoo. I hope he likes it. Honestly, I'm scared he won't, but it's too late now. I only do a small patch, and I'm nowhere near as good as Garrett, but I'm okay. I used to love drawing, so it's not too much harder. Okay, that's a lie, but still. When it's done, Diesel adds detail and shading as I grip Garrett's shaking hand and lean into his face, grinning at him. It's totally a dick. Will you punish me again? I grin, and he laughs.
You fucking bet, baby.
He keeps his eyes locked on me, and I babble, distracting him until Diesel is done. I'm so fucking proud of you, I murmur against his lips. He grips my head and groans.
I trust you, baby.
It floors me. I can't speak as he pulls away and checks out his new tattoo. I'm frozen in place. He trusts me. I hear his gasp.
Holy fuck, Roxy.
I turn and stare at it through the mirror, worried he hates it. What started as a joke actually means something now. He trusted me enough to touch him. Fuck, what was I thinking? It's some of his skin peeled away where the scar is, and underneath it are moving snake coils, like his skin was flayed away to reveal the viper underneath. Diesel's details make it look so much better, and there's no dick. I figured Garrett was too brave for that shit. He turns, his eyes wide and shocked.
Baby.
I shrug. She might have cut you up, Garrett, but underneath all that skin is a viper, a predator, stronger than ever. He storms toward me and I hold my breath, but he tugs me against him and kisses me hard, desperately, lovingly,
before leaning his forehead against mine.
I fucking love it.
Yeah? I ask. He nods, and then narrows his eyes teasingly.
What did you draw on my ass?
I pull away and point at Diesel. He did it, I yell, before starting to run. I hear him pulling down his pants.
Roxy!
He shouts while I laugh. Garrett catches me, though, and scoops up my legs and holds me to his chest.
A heart? Really?
It's cute, I grin, and he snorts as he brings me back to the living room. What trouble can we get up to now? I question, wiggling my brows. It turns out we could get into a lot of trouble. I seem to have started a prank war among the Vipers, but these criminals don't fill water balloons with flour or hide fake snakes somewhere. No, they play it for fucking real. It's crazy, and I can't help but laugh as we mess with Kenzo's car. We decided to spray paint it, which I'm betting is worth millions. I draw dicks on it, because why not, and so does Diesel. Garrett helps, and we all giggle like kids as we do it. For Ryder, we head to his office, which is below the apartment. Diesel suggests a grenade under his chair, but we luckily manage to veto that idea. I really want to ask where he got the grenade, but honestly, it doesn't even surprise me. Instead, we do something equally as crazy. We buy a brothel in his name. All communications are sent to his email, and within a few minutes he calls us.
What the fuck is happening? Have I been hacked, or did you get bored and buy a fucking... What the fuck is this shit, Garrett? Slippery hole? What the fuck?
I can't stop laughing, and he must hear it.
Love, if you did this, why are they asking me if I want a test run? My preferences are... A fucking golden shower by men? Jesus, Roxanne!
But I can hear the smile in his voice.
You want war, love? You got it.
He hangs up. Oh, shit. I'm so dead. We all wait in the garage downstairs for Kenzo to get back, and he pulls in driving a car I've never seen before. It's black, a matte black, which is hot as hell. It's sleek, low riding, and a sports car, but honestly, I haven't got a clue what kind. Ryder pulls in behind him, and we leap out as they slide from their vehicles, all standing around Kenzo's car. He comes towards us and then freezes when he sees the new paint.
You fucking didn't, he snarls.
Us? We wouldn't dare. I bat my lashes as his eyes catch the graphic diagram of him and a stick figure.
Darling, this car cost more than a goddamn city, he grouses. And to think I was going to give you your own car.
Wait, what? I gasp, rushing around, but he shakes his head, holding up the keys. That sexy as fuck machine is mine. Normally, I would be pissed at them for buying something so expensive, but it really is fucking sexy.
Was going to be, but I don't think you deserve it. Do you, brother? He asks.
Ryder snorts.
I'm still getting emails about slipping slides of urine. I told her to behave, so I say no.
But it's so pretty, I whisper, peeking around them and gaping at the car. Is it really for me? He drops the keys into my hand, but I just stand there, and his face softens.
It's a car, darling, not a fucking kidney transplant. It's just money. Go.
He shoves me towards it, but fuck. How much did this cost? Not that I should be surprised. These idiots don't know the concept of moderation. I step closer, but I don't even want to touch it. It's so goddamn pretty. What does it mean? Is this Ryder's way of giving me some freedom?
Get in the fucking car, baby,
Garrett orders. So I roll my eyes and open the door, slipping into the black bucket seats, which are leather and fucking comfy as shit. The dash is covered in gadgets and light up with bright purple LED lights.
It's yours, Ryder calls. Why don't you take it for a spin?
Diesel whoops and gets into the passenger seat, grinning over at me.
Gun it, little bird. No crashing,
Ryder shouts as I start the engine with a purr. Damn, I think I'm sexually attracted to this car, I mutter, as I shut my door and drive to the barrier, which lifts. I pull out onto the road, going slow and being extra careful. This car is too pretty to ding up, but Diesel snorts.
Fucking gun it, little bird. Life is too short to go slow.
So I do. I laugh as we race through the city, and only on the way back do I realize I was out. I was free. Yes, I had Diesel, but I could have kicked him out. I didn't even think about it. What does that mean? I'm quiet as we drive back and pull into the garage where the others are still waiting. They are arguing, but it stops when we pull up and I slip out. I love it, I tell them. But I'm also confused and Ryder must notice.
Come on, love. I need your help with some more paperwork.
Looking back at the car, I nod and follow after him. I lose myself in the work, trying not to question why I didn't escape. That night, I feign being sick and go to my room, spending the night alone for the first time in a while, and none of them come to me. Loneliness settles in and I can barely sleep. I stare out of the window, wondering what I have become. Do I want to stay? I don't know. I really don't, and that scares me. It's so easy to get lost in their lives, but I don't want to lose myself. Not again. I have to be me, and they encourage that, especially Diesel, but what if I can't be myself here? Fuck knows I don't blend with their rich friends, but does that matter? When the sun comes up, I have no more answers than when it set. I'm confused and feeling like shit. They do all these nice things for me. They buy shit for me and give me everything I could ever want. But is it enough? What if what I need can't be bought, but has to be given?
37. Kenzo. None of us slept. Diesel stormed off after the decision was made. Fuck knows what to do, but I know there will be a bloody path through the city, and I don't know if he will come back. Garrett leaves as well, to fight, no doubt. For someone who wanted her gone since the moment she arrived, he was reluctant, angry even, at the mention of letting her go. Because he loves her like I do. But I love her enough to let her go, to give her what she needs. I thought the car might help, but when she got back, I could see the truth in her eyes. It will never be enough. We will never be enough. Not without her freedom. I heard her the other night with Ryder, and he hasn't been the same since, so when he called the meeting after she slipped off to bed, it wasn't a surprise. I was ready. They call me a romantic, soft, and maybe I am, but Ryder? He's logical. And it's the only reason I think the others listened. Roxy is free from us. We are letting her go. And I'm praying to whoever the fuck listens she'll come back, because for once in my life I'm happy. I have everything I need, something money could never buy. Someone to walk this life with. It just so happens that someone is also for my brothers as well, which makes sense. No one would ever come between us. The same brilliant, strong, fierce, angry, smart and sexy woman. She's our heart, our softness, our reason in such a short amount of time. But for her, we are her captors. I wait for her to wake up, my heart in my throat and my stomach in knots. Will she be happy? Sad? Fuck. Ryder sits with me, two brothers side by side, ready to face another problem together. It feels like when we were kids, waiting to confront our father, waiting for the hurt to come. Ryder retreats into that ice like always, but I can't. I feel it all. Pain. It's in every breath I take. If she leaves, what will become of us? Diesel and Garrett have already left. If she isn't here, will they come back? We can go on without her. We will survive like always. But we are tamed snakes now, and without her, it will all be for nothing. I fell in love with her slowly. The first time she smiled at me, the first time I made her laugh, our first kiss, our first time together. When she fell asleep in my arms and held my hand at my mother's grave. When she confided in me, trusted me. When she stopped flinching. When she started reaching for me, trusted me. I fell a little more each time until before I knew it, I was completely in love with her. I'm hers, but she's not mine. Not fully. Her heart still reaches out to the city, to her old life, to her freedom beyond these walls. Nothing will replace that, no gift or love. She needs to be free.
and I need her to not hate me. I couldn't bear it. I couldn't stand hate in those eyes once again. Love means pain, I know that, but this pain? It might just wreck me this time. I survived loss before with my mother, but this feels so much worse. She's awake early, I hear her moving around, and I can't help but smile. She's like us, always ready to face the day, dressed and made up, only letting her guard down around us. Ryder is frozen next to me, but I see his hands curled into fists under the table, so I do something I haven't done since we were kids. I reach over and grip one. Whatever happens, you will never lose me, I tell him without looking. It's something I should have said a long time ago. I know his fears, that he thinks he will become our father. You will never be him. This is the right thing to do, brother. I know, but it feels so wrong, he whispers brokenly. I know, I whisper back, throat clogged. But her life is not ours to take. It never was. She was never a debt, never a business deal. She was always our destiny. But sometimes it comes at the wrong time. What do we do now? He queries, and I turn my head to meet his lost eyes. In his suit and those dark eyes, I see the kid he once was. The one who lost his mum too young. Who lost his innocence at the hands of a cruel father. The man who always knows what to do is lost right now, same as me. Our perfect life and plan are broken because of one woman. His greatest fear realized. We keep living like always, one breath after another. Let me protect you this time, brother. Let me do this. I'll tell him, being the strong one for once. He needs it. He needs to lean on people, even if he doesn't know it. Roxy taught me that. I hear her door open and her feet coming our way. He clenches my hand tightly and cools his expression, and we both turn to see her as she enters. There are bags under her eyes, and she's tired. She probably didn't sleep either. She glances between us, and Ryder stands. I won't repeat my father's life, love, Ryder snarls. I couldn't bear you hating me. Everyone else, fine, but not you, not ever. Then he leaves, letting me deal with it like I said I would. He's not running away, he's not hiding. He's learning that sometimes it's okay to let others help. Rye, she calls as he storms upstairs, but he freezes, his hand on the banister. I love you with all the broken, blood-stained pieces of me, he murmurs, and then he's gone. She gasps, stumbling back, and looks at me in shock. I stand and step towards her, but I can't close the distance between us. If I do, I might hold her and never let go. I need Ryder's cool confidence now, and I need Garrett's strength and Diesel's conviction. I need them all, and they are here, all of them, in my heart. With her. Roxy, I need you to listen for once and keep that pretty mouth of yours shut until I'm done. You're the love of my life, darling. Someone I didn't even know I was searching for all these years. But you're here, and I love you more than words, which is why I'm giving you these keys. I know you can never love me the way I love you when you're not free. I'm fucking hoping, that even though you can leave, that you're free. And I promise you are. We won't chase you, we won't hunt you. You are truly free. I'm hoping that you will still want to stay with us. Love us, Roxy. And I'm not asking for something easy or simple, I'm asking for everything, but I can't not. You're our heart, Rox, our living, beating heart. The peace we were missing from our family. You turned our world upside down. We aren't good men, we aren't soft or loving. We are hard and our hands are stained with blood. But I swear, if you stay, you will never want for anything. No one will ever hurt you again. Well, apart from us. I smirk and tears fill her eyes as she stares at me, speechless. We will love you effortlessly always, even when it's hard or hurts, when we are hateful and dark, even when we scare everyone else but you. I step closer and pass her the keys to her car. So I'm here, begging you not to leave, even though you can. I will lose all sense of dignity and pride for you. I'll do what they can't. I swallow, the words hard as I look into those eyes I know better than my own. Stay ours, keep Ryder sane. Melt that ice and give him the love he never had but deserved. Love Garrett even though he struggles to love himself. Love Diesel even though it might kill you. And love me even though I don't deserve it. Be my greatest win.
She blinks and glances away for a second, so I turn her to face me, my hand lingering on her cheek. I have no gifts, no jewels or expensive clothes or anything to offer. Just me and my heart. I smash my fist into my chest, the one my father tried to carve out of me. It's broken, damaged and dark like the rest of us, but it's yours. Along with my gun and my loyalty. Forever. Stay, darling. Please stay. She swallows, not letting those tears fall. She's too strong, our girl. I'm really free, she asks. I nod. Free, you can go back to your life if that's what you want. She stares wordlessly into my eyes. My heart is slamming against my chest so loudly, she must hear it. My legs feel weak, my stomach torn, and when she steps back, letting my hand drop from her face, it all breaks. My chest cracks open, my stomach drops, and my legs nearly buckle. I watch her silently turn and run to the door. She rips it open, hesitates, and for a moment I have hope that she will stay. But then she's gone, the doorframe empty. I fall to my knees, my heart splintering into a million pieces as I watch the empty space where she stood. My home is cold and empty, I'm alone, and I just had my heart broken. She left. She left us. A noise has my head jerking up to the balcony. I see Ryder's retreating form and then hear his door slam. She broke more than one heart today, but we will keep our promise. Her freedom. But what if I can't? Because as the seconds tick by, it gets harder and harder to breathe the farther I know she gets away from us. What if, without her, there is no us? What if I can't let her go? What if I'm not strong enough? What if I'm too much of a viper to release our prey?
38. Roxy. My heart is hammering and my lungs ache, but I outrun it. I grip the keys so hard they cut into my hand. Even that pain doesn't register. It doesn't compete with the sick feeling in my stomach or my screaming heart. He begged. He laid it all out for me and asked me to stay. And I left. I run faster, throwing myself down the stairs until I reach the garage. I put my hand on the scanner and it flashes green, letting me through. With hurried steps, I reach my car and throw myself into the driver's seat. But with nowhere else to run to, it all hits me. The pain in his voice. The love in his eyes. The desperation I saw in the set of his shoulders. They have given me everything I ever wanted since they first walked into my bar. But what if what I want has changed? What if this snake has shed her skin and became something new? No. Don't let them get to you. This is what you wanted, I remind myself. I grip the wheel and turn on the engine. I'm free. I'm not theirs anymore. But sitting in the car, I can't move. My old life is filled with ghosts, an empty, lonely shell. Do I really want to go back to that? Is there anything to even go back to? The vipers aren't a walk-away situation. They are for life. If I choose them, I'm choosing them forever and everything their life entails. Because somewhere along the way, I hate you became our I love yous. I do. I hate them so much it scares me. That's really why I'm walking away. But I can't let fear hold me back. Not with so much on the line. Not with four hearts. It's simple. I want them, they want me. Freedom, family, work, none of it matters. Only them. The vipers. My vipers. I'm their girl. So why am I running? Because I'm scared, that's why. Scared how much I want them, how much they have consumed me. How right I feel in their arms, in their life. The cold, controlling alpha. The damaged enforcer with a heart of gold. The romantic, charming gambler. The insane killer with an obsessive heart. What does that make me? The captive? No, not anymore. It makes me theirs, a viper.
It makes this home. As soon as I realize it, I know. I know I didn't want to leave. Haven't for a long time. That fight and hate was aimed at myself because I knew if I didn't, if I gave in, I would have seen the truth all along. From the first kiss, wink, and smile, I was theirs. But you can't take and not give. They took me, but they gave me themselves. And I just ruined that. I refused to be like Ryder and Kenzo's parents. I refused to be the bitch who ruined Garrett. I refused to be the mother who never loved Diesel. I refused to repeat the past. This is our future. They are my future. I turn off the engine, and when it doesn't feel wrong, I know this is the right decision. I'm staying with them. With their lifestyle, and all that includes enemies, blood, riches, parties, snakes, and liars. All of it. Slipping from the car, heart hammering, I turn to run back to them and freeze when I spot Kenzo there. He's standing behind the car, his eyes filled with tears, his chest heaving, body shaking like me. Both of us are fighting, but what I told Garrett is true. I'm done fighting. He steps closer, and this time I don't retreat. I lied, he croaks. I will follow you always. I'll hunt you across this world. Even if you hate me, us for it, I will drag you back kicking and screaming. Hit me, slap me, fight me, I don't care. The pain is worth it to have you with me, darling. I love you too much to let you go. I'm too fucking selfish to let the best thing to ever happen to us walk away. You're ours. I rush to him and he meets me halfway, lifting me instantly. Our lips meet here in the parking garage. Pulling back, he grips my hair harshly, his eyes sharp and cruel. Don't you ever fucking walk away from me again, darling. Don't fucking let me, I snap, and slap him as I smirk. He groans, his head jerking back around, and he kisses me hard. He starts walking backwards to the elevator, but stops and slams me into the concrete wall, making me gasp at the pain. His eyes are brutal, and I fucking love it. You aren't getting away from us now, Roxy. Good, I smirk. Is that a promise? He grunts when we hear the garage open, and I look over his shoulder to see Garrett storming in on his bike. He rips off his helmet, and when he sees me, he prowls over, his eyes angry and body taut with anger. He gets right up to us, uncaring about the position we're in. You're not fucking leaving. Thought you hated me, I tease. I do, he snarls, his hand wrapping around my throat as he gets in my face, unbothered about Kenzo. But you don't get to leave. I hate you, I snap, and he smirks. I hate you too, baby. Kenzo pulls me away. Upstairs now, he demands, and rushes us into the elevator. Garrett stabs his finger on the button, his dark eyes on me, and I know whatever they're planning will hurt. In the best fucking way. He watches me the entire ride up, and when the doors open, a wild-looking Diesel is there. He stops when he sees me, his eyes narrowing. Little bird, trying to escape? Nah. Just wanted to be punished, I grin. He smirks, his eyes running across me angrily. That can be arranged. Kenzo refuses to let me go as we leave the elevator, but Diesel manages to get close. You thought I would let you leave? I told you you're mine. They would have to kill me to stop me from coming after you. I melt at that. Once it would have scared me. The first time I saw him, I thought him mad. He still is. Fucking batshit. But he's my batshit. And when he whispers threatening, dirty things like that, I can't help but wiggle wanting more. Guess I'm crazy too. I have to be, to love four vipers. The door is still open, and Kenzo storms through it, dropping me to my feet in the living room and standing in front of me, arms crossed and angry. Strip now. What? No dice this time, I taunt, even as my pussy clenches at the order. Where's Ryder? Diesel prowls around me, and Garrett watches me from the sofa, legs spread and eyes hungry. But they are still angry. Angry that I almost left. I am too. The best way to solve that? Fuck it out.
Better strip, little bird, Diesel growls.
So, rolling my eyes, I rip off my crop top and kick off my boots and shorts until I stand bare before them. I feel confident in my skin, so I don't bother hiding. I run my hand down the valley of my breasts, feeling powerful when three sets of eyes watch the movement and masculine groans fill the room. Yes, the vipers might bite, but I do too. And they are mine.
What's?
Ryder snarls, and I look up to see him frozen at the top of the floating stairs.
Roxanne.
I wink up at him. Coming to play? I'm nervous, but I try not to show it. I'm betting he knows I left, but I'm back. Does he still want me? He watches me, knowing every fucking inch of skin, every movement, every flicker of my eyes, like always. Analyzing it, using it like a weapon.
It depends, love. Plan on leaving again? He snaps cruelly.
It depends, love. Plan on giving me some orgasms? I mock. His eyes narrow, and his fists clench as he strolls down the stairs, not stopping until he stands before me, the others closing in behind him. Me versus four angry, horny vipers. Seems like fair odds. In fact, they could probably do with more men. He grips my chin hard, his eyes cruel and mean, icy.
Don't mock me, love. Just because you think you can handle us doesn't mean you can. So fucking prove it.
He's testing me, pushing to see if he can keep me away, always trying to protect their arts. Well, fuck that. Fine, I retort, even in the face of his dark malice, in his demons. I won't say he will never hurt me. He might. He might even kill me one day. But his love is fucking worth it. They are fucking worth it. I can't say it's too much of a hardship to prove it. So I drop to my knees like a good little girl and flick open his trousers, shoving my hand inside. Are you all going to stand there and watch or get in on the action? They hesitate for a moment. Blocking my eyes on Ryder, I lick his hard cock, reminding him how good we were together. He thinks I can't handle them. I'll fuck them all and prove him wrong. They are my family, my vipers, and you don't love a viper without loving the pain. He grips the nape of my neck and yanks me away, throwing me backwards. I tumble onto my back, panting, a smile curving my lips when I see he isn't as unmoved as he would like to pretend. His eyes narrow dangerously.
Diesel, remind Roxanne whom she belongs to.
Oh, Roxanne, I'm in trouble, I mock, as Diesel comes up behind me. He yanks my head back and presses a knife to my throat before running it down the valley of my breasts, cutting away my bra and dragging it down to my belly button, the scratch of the blade making me moan. Kenzo gets to his knees and kisses up my thigh, so at odds with Diesel's harsh, mean hands. His mouth reaches my pussy and closes over it through my niggers, tasting my wetness. Groaning, I arch up into him and the blade, cutting myself. Blood trickles from my tiny cut down my belly, making Diesel grunt behind me, his hand tightening on my air.
Dirty little bird.
Orgasms, I demand breathlessly, pushing my pussy into Kenzo's mouth. Diesel laughs.
Let me,
he murmurs to Kenzo as he drags the blade lower and with one smooth expert flick slides away the lace to bear me to them all. Eyes open, chest heaving, I glance up at Ryder and Garrett. Ryder is icy still, his eyes locked on me, watching my every reaction. Garrett's hands are balled into fists as he paces, his eyes focused on me too, hungry and angry at the same time.
Don't let her come yet, Ryder orders, as he sits down on the sofa and watches us.
Fucking asshole. I narrow my eyes on him and he smirks like he knows my thoughts.
Garrett, do you think if Diesel held her head with his cock in her mouth and Kenzo restrained her hands, you could fuck a pussy?
Garrett looks at me seriously and I freeze, even as Diesel runs a knife up and around one of my nipples and Kenzo's tongue laps at my pussy with teasing little strokes like I'm his favorite dessert, making me whimper and want more.
Yes, he nods. Good. Brother, get her nice and wet for him. Then you get her hands until he's done.
He commands. The fucking ass is trying to control everything like normal. I'll let him for now, because it will help Garrett, but after, all bets are off. Kenzo does as he's told, those eyes rolling up to meet mine as he seals his lips around my clit and sucks, his finger sliding into my wet heat. Diesel presses the cold steel blade to my oversensitive nipple, keeping it there as I rock into Kenzo's mouth. It doesn't take long for me to build up to my release, but like the fuckers they are, just as I'm about to come, Kenzo pulls away. Groaning, I close my eyes, swearing until my head has turned and a cock is shoved in my mouth. I choke for a second, a piercing dragging along my tongue as my eyes flicker open to meet Diesel's gaze. Kenzo binds my hands, and two rough palms trace up my thighs and push them farther open. I want to turn to look, but I can't. Diesel is controlling my head, and he isn't going easy. He fucks my mouth hard, punishing me for leaving. Tears fall from my eyes at the force, my throat constricting as I try to breathe through my nose in the panic. Only when I relax do I feel Garrett line up at my pussy. He rubs his huge cock along my wetness before slamming inside me, making me scream and choke around Diesel's cock, who, in punishment, slices across my breast with a knife. Blood wells, I feel it, and the sudden pain has me clenching around Garrett, making him groan as he fights my tight pussy. Fuck, baby, he groans, his hands clasping my thighs harder as he drags me farther down, my body stretching between them as they take their punishments out on me. Garrett fucks me hard and fast, dirty and raw. His cock drags along those nerves that have me groaning around Diesel's cock. His blue eyes are locked on me crazily as he presses his finger to the wound on my breast and flicks and rips at the edges, the pain mixing with pleasure. Little dirty bird, he groans, his cock jerking in my mouth as he pulls his finger away to show me my blood on his hand. He pulls his cock from my mouth, and I pant as I watch him wrap his bloody hand around it, stroking along its wet length with his eyes still locked on me. Then he presses the tip to my lips. Suck me down, dirty bird, and taste yourself on me. See how prettily you bleed for my blade. If the others weren't here, I can't guarantee you would survive me with the way I'm feeling today, he growls. Garrett catches my attention, flicking my clit until I scream, my mouth opening, and Diesel thrusts inside. The taste of copper and man explodes in my mouth as I groan and suck him harder. Don't let her come, Ryder orders, and I tremble from the force growing inside me. You don't get a reward for walking away, Roxanne. You will take their cocks and come like a good girl, and only when we're finished will we decide if you get a release or not. Diesel smirks down at me, rolling his hips and thrusting into my mouth, until I just have to hold on. Garrett pounds into me, so big it's on the edge of pain. I feel his nails digging into my skin, almost cutting. Fuck, baby, he growls. I feel his hips stutter, and then he groans, bursting inside me before pulling out. That bastard! Diesel laughs and grabs my head harder, slamming me onto his cock and pushing right down my throat until his eyes close, and with a groan he comes too. His abs clench as he pants, then he pulls away and falls back with a satisfied smile on his face. You fucking assholes, I rasp, my voice raw as I swallow and lick my lips. Kenzo chuckles and releases my hands. My body aches, and my pussy clenches again and again, so close to coming yet so far away. They've had their fun, now it's my turn. I sit up, not even wincing when I feel Garrett's cum slipping from me. I turn my head and meet Ryder's gaze. He's in control here, but he forgets I don't take orders well. You don't get to control everything, Rye, I murmur as I crawl towards him. He watches me approach, his lips parting and eyes melting. I crawl up his legs and slide onto his lap, grabbing his cock and lining up before dropping down on him. He groans, grabbing my hips to still me, to control my movements, but I won't let him. I want to come. I want to come on his cock, and I take what I want. I rock, lifting and dropping, his brothers come helping me. It's a wild, uncontrolled ride until he swears and finally lets go. Kenzo moves closer, and I turn my head, opening my mouth to him. He slips inside, his brother buried in my pussy, and his other two brothers spent and watching. I'm so goddamn close to coming that when Ryder leans forward and sucks my nipple into his mouth and I grind down on his cock, I come with a scream around his brother's cock. They don't let me pull away, though.
Ryder's hands tighten and move me harder, fucking me now. Kenzo slams in and out of my mouth, their eyes on me as they take what they want. I shake and tremble between them, barely over my release even as another builds.
Fucking hell, little bird. You should see yourself. A cock in your mouth and one in your pussy. Blood on you. A fucking masterpiece.
Diesel calls from behind me, and my eyes shut at the words as I clench around Ryder.
Eyes open, love, Ryder snaps. You will watch us fuck you and fill you with our cum. Every goddamn time you try to get away from us, we'll remind you exactly whom you belong to. This body, he groans, is ours. This pussy, ours. Never fucking forget that.
Kenzo is panting, his eyes wild as he stares at me.
Darling, fuck.
I reach up and roll Kenzo's balls in my hand while I ride Ryder's cock. Kenzo swears, his eyes closing as if in pain.
I'm so fucking close, Rox. God, stop.
But I bloody won't. I almost lost this. Lost them. Because of pride and fear. I suck him harder and squeeze his balls. He yells and jerks, thrusting into my mouth before suddenly pulling out, his hand wrapping around his cock as he watches me. My mouth is sore, my lips swollen, and he glares at me.
We'll all mark you, he snarls,
and pumps his cock twice more before coming, his cum spraying across my breasts. He groans, and when his eyes open again, he sees his cum on me and he grunts,
fuck, that's hot.
Running my finger through the mess, I suck my finger into my mouth as I turn and look into Ryder's eyes. He was letting me finish with his brother before all my attention was brought back to him. Then, he reminds me why I love his punishments, his pain and fire, why I love him. He flips me, bending me over the sofa, my head dangling as he gets to his knees behind me and slams into my pussy. One hand tangles in my hair and yanks my head back as he bites my neck, his cock hard and thick, dragging along those nerves that have me almost screaming and my eyes crossing from the pleasure.
Don't you ever fucking leave us again,
he demands, voice wild.
Never,
I pant, pushing back to meet his thrusts.
Say it again,
he orders as he pounds into me.
Never, never, never,
I chant as he controls my body. I can feel him losing his restraint as he pushes his finger into my ass, sending me tumbling over that edge. I come with a scream. I can barely feel my body, my eyes darkening, and when I come to, I'm leaning into the sofa with his weight on me and a wetness between my thighs that tells me he came. He licks my neck again.
We are nowhere near done. When the sun comes up, you won't even be able to walk after what we have planned for you. For daring to leave. We are vipers, love. We bite, and we never stop hunting.
He slips from my pussy and I tumble to the sofa, boneless and sticky, but beyond satisfied. My pussy aches, but like he promised, he isn't done with me. Kenzo cleans my pussy with soft strokes of a cloth before he tosses it away and his fingers take over, stroking my raw pussy. I try to protest, but he's slow and gentle, and before I know it, I'm tilting into his fingers again. He slips two inside me and strokes until I'm panting and rolling my hips up. Only then does he drag my legs to the end of the sofa and bury his face there, licking and lapping me, soothing me with his tongue.
How does she taste, brother?
Ryder murmurs, and I turn my head to see him watching us. They all are, and they are all hard again. Dear God. Garrett groans, licking his lips as he steps closer, making me pant harder.
Like fucking heaven, Kenzo groans, his hands grabbing me greedily as he consumes me faster and faster.
Kenzo, I whimper, arching up when Diesel's blade suddenly nicks my skin, making me jerk and turn my head to see him behind the sofa, leaning over to touch me.
She moans so sweetly, doesn't she?
Diesel laughs.
You should hear her scream as you carve her skin.
My eyes close at that. I can't take it. And when Diesel squeezes my throat, cutting off my air supply, and Kenzo curls his tongue around my piercing, I come with a scream, all of them watching me as I writhe in pleasure.
I want her ass,
Diesel tells the others, and Kenzo kisses each thigh and rolls me over. I can't even talk, never mind argue, and when I feel Diesel's rough, calloused hands stroking at my thighs, I whimper, burying my head in the sofa. Oh, God. I can't. Dee, I whisper, but he hears me, and his teeth dig suddenly into my thigh, making me scream.
Ours, he snaps. I'll have you however I fucking want, little bird. It will hurt, and you will love it all.
Torture. This is him torturing me tonight for daring to leave him. They all are. But when it comes with some of the best orgasms of my life, how can I protest? So even though I'm exhausted, my body tired and sated, I don't object when he drags my ass into the air.
I love you, little bird. You're the gasoline of my fire. I never would have let you go, and the others wouldn't have either. They're idiots if they thought they could,
he murmurs as he pulls apart my cheeks and licks down my ass.
Ready for round two?
Oh, shit.
39. Ryder. Roxy turns up for breakfast with a big yawn. The shirt she's wearing is see-through, and she has no knickers or a bra on. I almost drop my cup, I'm stirring that hard. She smirks when she catches me and winks before plopping into her seat and putting her legs on my lap. Rolling my eyes, I cup her toes as I go back to reading the updates on my phone. She slept for almost a day after our reunion, as Diesel is calling it. Her body is still sore, so I don't push it, even though I want to bend her over the table and fuck her. We put her through hell that night, her blood covering the living room. She paid her penance with orgasms for trying to leave us. And she loved every goddamn minute, even though when we were finally done with her and held her as she fell asleep, she said she hated us. She's such a goddamn liar. Diesel, care to explain why we now have another yacht? I ask, looking up to see him leaning back with a smirk while Garrett groans. I told you we would find out, Dee, he laughs. Dee shrugs.
Well, you see, I was walking along minding my own business when I saw a yacht called Roxy. Now, of course, no one other than us could own a boat named after our girl, so I offered them lots of money to buy it.
He shrugs as Roxy laughs, cupping the mug of coffee Kenzo hands her. You're forgetting the part where he said no, so you beat the shit out of him with a frying pan and told him the boat was yours now and to call you Captain Crazy, Garrett adds as he eats. It's silent for a moment, then we all roar with laughter as Diesel grins. He glances over at Roxy and winks.
You can just call me Crazy, little bird.
We already have a yacht, I sigh when I can control my laughter.
Well, now we have two. We can race them.
Diesel laughs, flipping his lighter open and shut. I'm about to try and explain why we won't be doing that when my phone rings, interrupting me. Answering it, I massage Roxanne's cold toes, but freeze at the words that come down the line. There's been an explosion. I sit up, my body rigid, as all hints of anything but the Viper disappear. Where? The old house. Tony sighs. Any hurt or dead? I can feel the others stirring, so I hold up my finger to tell them to wait. No, it was empty. Fire and police are here, but we know them, so they are going to say it's a gas explosion and we'll be gone soon. Thanks, Tony. Keep me updated. I'll snarl. Oh, and boss? We found motorbike tracks leading onto the dirt road behind the house. Four of them. He hangs up. Bikes. Triad. Those fucking idiots. I'm going to kill them for this. This isn't just a sly dig at our power. This is an all-out act of war. We could have dismissed the assassination attempt as youthful enthusiasm and still got them in line, but this? This marks their deaths. Slamming the phone down, I look to the others who are ready, their bodies vibrating with tension, knowing something has happened. They blew up the old house. Triad. Garrett growls, his hands clenched into fists, and I incline my head. They found bike tracks out back. Police and fire will rule it as a gas explosion. I grind my teeth and I can feel Roxy frowning at us. The outhouse? She asks. But I'm too infuriated to answer, too busy counting mentally to even speak. To not explode and rain down fucking hell across this city that dares cross us. Our father's house, we lived there after his death for a while as we built this, Kenzo tells her, but even his voice is tight. To hit that house, our house. They are trying to provoke a reaction. If we don't retaliate, we'll be seen as weak, like we are scared of them, which we aren't.
Their family might have used to run this town, but now they are nothing but relics.
Relics can be forgotten. What's our move? Kenzo questions. No one is eating now.
We get them back, a fucking caution. We kill them all.
Diesel snarls, stabbing his knife into the table, his face twisted in anger.
No, not yet. We show them we can easily get to them. We prove our power. We make them fear us like everyone else. Then we destroy them, I outline as I calmly put my teacup down and straighten my suit.
I'll get a rocket launcher,
Diesel adds.
No, they own a restaurant, don't they? Their parents ran it for many years and lived above it. Get me the address.
Also get me the address of all three brothers.
It's a Sunday, so they will be at home having a family day.
I start to grin and Kenzo mirrors it.
I'll make the calls. I like where you are going with this, big brother.
Picking up my own phone, I stand. I want police at all three doors. Arrest them on any charges, show them up, let them know it's from us, and shut down that restaurant. Repossess it. It's ours now.
What are you going to do?
Roxy inquires curiously, not seeming upset in any way.
I'm going to check the papers for all of their family members and employees. Any who are here illegally will be deported immediately.
We're going to take them down.
This is war.
She stands then.
Let me help.
The others are rushing off on their phones, but I hold my call and stare at her.
You want to help?
She nods, a sly grin covering her lips.
You think you're the only one who can? I have an idea. Do you trust me?
I stare at her and she steps closer.
Ryder, do you trust me?
The words echo around me as I nod my head in affirmation. She grins wider than before, kissing my cheek.
Good. Because shit is about to get real.
She strolls away while I stare at her retreating form, wondering if I should be more worried about her than Diesel and his launcher. But I don't have long to debate. If I want this done today, I need to make calls, and fast. By the time I'm off the phone, it's hours later, and Roxy comes back looking way too pleased with herself, with Garrett on her heels.
It is all done, now we sit back and watch.
And what did you do, love? I ask, calmer now. She drops into my lap, smirking at me and leans in.
Watch and learn, baby.
She kisses me and stands again, whistling as she heads to the living room and flicks on the TV to the news. I follow after her, leaning against the back of the sofa and watch above her head as it mentions raids in the city. No doubt on their homes and restaurant, which makes me smirk. But then it flips to a new news report and my mouth drops open. It's focused on their import business. The triads. Turn it up, I demand. And the TV booms through the room.